Lord,
so
nice to see all of you here today to receive God's gift of forgiveness in word and in sacrament. Seeing Nick back there reminded me that I just wanted to remind you that there will be a trumpet on the opening hymn. And so if you have some sound sensitivity issues, feel free to step out if you need to do that before the opening hymn. Nick, that's the only one you're playing, right? Okay, good. So if you need to step out, you will be safe the rest of the service after that. For our time of catechesis, we are on civil government. So page 328, if you need it. We talked last time about what the hearers owe their pastors, and so you see that these are in sort of pairs. So the bishops was first, and then what the hearers owe their pastors. And now we have a civil government, and next time we will have of citizens. And it is sort of interesting that Luther gives us Romans 13, 1-4 here for of civil government, which talks both about citizens and the civil government. We might be inclined to very quickly indict the civil government of not doing what it's supposed to be doing. But the passage also speaks to us as citizens, and we won't hear it again next week. There's, as you can see, a number of other passages that get used there. So Romans 13, and this is, you know, providential. We'll hear it again today as part of the epistle reading as well. Everyone must submit himself to the governing authorities, for there is no authority except that which God has established. The authorities that exist have been established by God. Consequently, he who rebels against the authority is rebelling against what God has instituted, and those who do so will bring judgment on themselves. For rulers hold no terror for those who do right, but for those who do wrong. Do you want to be free from fear of the one in authority? Then do what is right, and he will commend you, for he is God's servant to do you good. But if you do wrong, be afraid, for he does not bear the sword for nothing. He is God's servant, an agent of wrath, to bring punishment on the wrongdoer. As I mentioned, you don't hear that portion next week, but he does pick up at verse 5 and give us a little bit more of Romans 13 in that next section. It is, of course, good for our government to remember that it is instituted by God. We talk about government deriving its power from the consent of the governed in the Declaration and the Constitution. But really, we know better. We know that it comes from God. And if our governing authorities remember that they are under God's authority, we might have a little bit different approach to governing, perhaps. But even as the government does what it's not supposed to do, until it tells us to do something that we cannot do because of God's word, we are obligated to obey the government, just as we obey our parents and teachers and other authorities under the fourth commandment, even when they maybe don't act exactly the way that they should. Any questions, comments on that at all? We live in the forgiveness of sins for our failures to do as we should. Okay. Preparation for setting one is, as you have it, on page 151. I invite you to turn there and please stand if you want. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit.
Amen.
If we say we have no sin, we deceive ourselves, and the truth is not in us.
But if we confess our sins, God, who is faithful and just, will forgive our sins and cleanse us from all unrighteousness.
Let us then confess our sins to God, our Father. Most merciful God, we confess that we are by nature sinful and unclean. We have sinned against you in thought, word, and deed, by what we have done and by what we have left undone. We have not loved you with our whole hearts, We have not loved our neighbors as ourselves. We justly deserve your present and eternal punishment. For the sake of your Son, Jesus Christ, have mercy on us. Forgive us, renew us, and lead us, so that we may delight in your will and walk in your ways, to the glory of your holy name. Amen. In the mercy of Almighty God, Jesus Christ was given to die for us. And for his sake, God forgives us all our sins. To those who believe in Jesus Christ, he gives the power to become the children of God and bestows on them the Holy Spirit. May the Lord, who has begun this good work in us, bring it to completion in the day of our Lord Jesus Christ.
Amen.
Church of God and for the unity of all, let us pray to the Lord. For this holy house, and for all who offer here their worship and praise, let us pray to the Lord.
Lord, have mercy.
Help, save, comfort, and defend us, gracious Lord. And peace to his people on earth.
Lord God, King, Almighty God and Father, we worship you, we give you thanks, we praise you for your glory, Lord Jesus Christ, only Son of the Father.
Grant to us, your humble servants, your holy inspiration, that we may set our minds on the things that are right, and by your merciful guiding accomplish them. Through Jesus Christ, your Son, our Lord, who lives and reigns with you in the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever. Today is the 15th Sunday after Pentecost. The appointed Old Testament reading and also the text for the sermon is from Ezekiel, the 33rd chapter, beginning with the 7th verse. So you, son of man, I have made a watchman for the house of Israel. Whenever you hear a word from my mouth, you shall give them warning from me. If I say to the wicked, O wicked one, you shall surely die, and you do not speak to warn the wicked to turn from his way, that wicked person shall die in his iniquity, but his blood I will require at your hand. But if you warn the wicked to turn from his way, and he does not turn from his way, that person shall die in his iniquity, but you will have delivered your soul. This is the word of the Lord. Blessed is the one whose transgression is forgiven,
whose sin is covered.
Blessed is the one whose transgression is forgiven,
whose sin is covered.
Blessed is the man against whom the Lord counts no iniquity,
and whose spirit there is no deceit.
For when I kept silent, my bones wasted away. For day and night your hand was heavy upon me.
My strength was sad, but I was not weak.
acknowledged my sin to you, and I did not cover my iniquity.
I said, I confess my transgressions to the Lord, and you forgave the iniquity of my sin.
Therefore, let everyone who is godly offer prayer to you at a time when you may be found.
Surely in the shrewd waters, they shall not reach you.
You are a hiding place for me. You preserve me from trouble.
You surround me with shouts of deliverance.
Glory be to the Father, and to the Son, and to the Holy Spirit, as it was in the beginning, is now, and will be forever. Amen. Blessed is the one whose transgression is forgiven,
whose sin is covered.
Epistle reading is from Romans, the 13th chapter. Let every person be subject to the governing authorities, for there is no authority except from God, and those that exist have been instituted by God. Therefore, whoever resists the authorities resists what God has appointed, and those who resist will incur judgment. For rulers are not a terror to good conduct, but to bad. Would you have no fear of the one who is in authority? Then do what is good, and you will receive his approval, for he is God's servant for your good. But if you do wrong, be afraid, for he does not bear the sword in vain. For he is the servant of God, an avenger who carries out God's wrath on the wrongdoer. Therefore, one must be in subjection, not only to avoid God's wrath, but also for the sake of conscience. For because of this, you also pay taxes. For the authorities are ministers of God, attending to this very thing. Pay to all what is owed to them. Taxes to whom taxes are owed. Revenue to whom revenue is owed. Respect to whom respect is owed. Honor to whom honor is owed. Owe no one anything except to love one another. For the one who loves another has fulfilled the law. For the commandments, you shall not commit adultery, you shall not murder, you shall not steal, you shall not covet, and any other commandment, are summed up in this word, you shall love your neighbor as yourself. Love does no wrong to a neighbor. Therefore, love is the fulfilling of the law. This is the word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
The Holy Gospel according to St. Matthew, the 18th chapter.
At that time, the disciples came to Jesus, saying, "Who is the greatest in the kingdom of heaven?" And calling to him a child, he put him in the midst of them and said, "Truly I say to you, unless you turn and become like children, you will never enter the kingdom of heaven. Whoever humbles himself like this child is the greatest in the kingdom of heaven. Whoever receives one such child in my name receives me, but whoever causes one of these little ones who believe in me to sin, it would be better for him to have a great millstone fastened around his neck and to be drowned in the depth of the sea. Woe to the world for temptations to sin, for it is necessary that temptations come, but woe to the one by whom the temptation comes. And if your hand or foot causes you to sin, cut it off and throw it away.
It is better for you to enter life crippled or lame than with two hands or two feet to be thrown into the eternal fire. And if your eye causes you to sin, tear it out and throw it away. It is better for you to enter life with one eye than with two eyes to be thrown into the hell of fire. See that you do not despise one of these little ones. For I tell you that in heaven, their angels always see the face of my Father who is in heaven. What do you think? If a man has 100 sheep and one of them has gone astray, does he not leave the 99 on the mountains and go in search of the one that went astray? And if he finds it, truly I say to you, he rejoices over it more than over the 99 that never went astray. So it is not the will of my Father who is in heaven that one of these little ones should perish. If your brother sins against you, go and tell him his fault between you and him alone. If he listens to you, you have gained your brother. But if he does not listen, take one or two others along with you, that every charge may be established by the evidence of two or three witnesses. If he refuses to listen to them, tell it to the church. And if he refuses to listen even to the church, let him be to you as a Gentile and a tax collector. Truly, I say to you, whatever you bind on earth shall be bound in heaven, and whatever you loose on earth shall be loosed in heaven. Again, I say to you, if two of you agree on earth about anything they ask, it will be done for them by my Father in heaven. For where two or three are gathered in my name, there am I among them. This is the gospel of the Lord. Remain standing if you're able for the singing of the hymn of the day, number 820.
Join me in prayer. May the words of my mouth and the meditations of our hearts be pleasing in your sight, O Lord, our rock and our redeemer. Amen. Dear brothers and sisters in Christ, grace to you and peace from God our Father and from the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. There is a popular misperception by some people in our church body that the Missouri Synod each week sends out a free sermon for all the pastors to preach the coming Sunday. No free sermon is so sent. But there is a quarterly preaching journal for which Reverend Adler and I have both written sermons, and to which journal congregations and individuals can subscribe, as Pilgrim does, and which journal Pilgrim has used, for example, in a case of emergency. North of our border, our sister Synod Lutheran Church Canada, on its website does link a free sermon for the coming Sunday, especially for those congregations that do not have a pastor and maybe cannot afford the preaching journal that I mentioned. However, just like a national weather forecast may be too general to really help with local weather in a particular place, a sort of general sermon written by someone far away may not apply God's law and gospel as well as a sermon written by a man whom God has called and sent to a particular congregation. As you might imagine, God's message through Ezekiel to the Judean exiles in Babylon, such as what we heard in today's Old Testament reading, is similar to, but also different from, God's roughly contemporaneous message through Jeremiah to those who remained back in Judah. God gave each prophet to his respective congregation with a particular message. And so we can say that the same is similarly true today. God calls pastors through congregations in order for the pastor to preach
to the congregation to which he is called. God gives the pastor or watchman his word, usually by our series of appointed readings. And the pastor gives the people applicable warning from God. This morning we consider God's watchman and warning. Civil defense sirens and speakers in our communities, severe weather radios in our homes, and alert applications on our smartphones may be the closest modern day equivalents that we have to the kind of watchman that God made Ezekiel for the house of Israel. Simply put, as God's watchman, Ezekiel was to warn the house of Israel of impending disaster. And as we heard, if Ezekiel did not warn them, God required their blood at Ezekiel's hand. But if Ezekiel did warn them, Ezekiel delivered his soul. Either way, the people were still responsible for their own sin. But God's warning through the prophet was intended for them to repent and be forgiven, which is essentially how today's Old Testament reading fits in with today's other readings and the Sunday's overall theme. People sometimes complain that a particular sermon singles them out. Sometimes the person making the complaint was not in my mind at all. And one can hardly dismiss a sermon as if it is just my berating someone. Because while pastors are not divinely inspired exactly the same way that the human authors of Holy Scripture were, the Holy Spirit is still ultimately responsible for applying God's word of law and gospel to each and every individual, including to me. On Pilgrim's website, you can find nearly 15 years of sermons that I have preached here. And I think that probably every single one of those sermons ultimately indicts all people of sin, including me. Ezekiel was not exempt from the warning that he gave to the house of Israel from God, and I am not exempt from the warning that I give to the people here at Pilgrim from God. Sin destroyed our relationship with God, and as a result of sin, we all deserve temporal and eternal punishment. Apart from repentance, we shall surely die. Even if people wrongly think that they are being singled out by a particular sermon, they hardly can deny that in some sense they are guilty of a particular sin. For example, God, through the Apostle James, says that whoever fails in keeping one point of the law has become guilty of all of the law. If we reject the Holy Spirit's application of God's law to us, then the Holy Spirit does not apply God's gospel to us. And apply God's gospel is ultimately what God and his watchmen want to do. Not only so that the watchman delivers his own soul, but also so that all turn from their way and live. Today's Old Testament reading comes as a part of a turning point in the book of Ezekiel, as God moves from Ezekiel's prophesying judgment for past sins to Ezekiel's promising restoration in future forgiveness. In today's Old Testament reading, God is sometimes said to recommission Ezekiel, who already has proclaimed God's law, to then proclaim God's gospel. In the book of Ezekiel, Son of Man refers to Ezekiel and emphasizes his humanity, unlike elsewhere where Son of Man refers to Jesus and can emphasize his divinity. Of course, God's gospel is that Jesus, true God and true man, perfectly kept the law that we failed to keep and died on the cross in our place for our failure to keep that law perfectly. Then Jesus rose from the dead. The Messiah, whom Ezekiel and those who heard him believed was coming, did come. The same God, against whose judgment God warns us, delivers us from his judgment out of his love, mercy, and grace for Jesus' sake. When you trust God to forgive you for Jesus' sake, then God does forgive you your original sin and all your actual sin, whatever your actual sin might be. You have God's peace and joy already now. God is in control. Through the preaching of the gospel and the administration of the sacraments, he gives the Holy Spirit, who creates faith when and where he pleases in those who hear the gospel. Apparently, Ezekiel was of a priestly line and was carried into exile in Babylon before Jerusalem was destroyed by the Babylonians. Ezekiel served his prophetic ministry of some 20 years along a large irrigation canal called the Kibar River in southern Mesopotamia, modern-day Iraq. We might think of a refugee camp in a war-torn country. Temple worship soon came to an end back in Judea. And we might say that the exiles in Babylon were in uncharted waters. Ezekiel was accountable to God as God's watchmen are today. And we know that on God's behalf, Ezekiel continued to call the house of Israel to repent, even when they ignored the call, as their ancestors had ignored the call for hundreds of years and through generations of watchmen. We're not told, however, to what extent things such as circumcision and Passover were observed during the exile. Nor are we told how Ezekiel might or might not have maintained fellowship with those who did not turn from their way. We also might say that we at Pilgrim, somewhat similarly, are in uncharted waters. I continue to honor God's call through the congregation for me to serve as pastor here, being God's watchman, and giving God's warning of law and gospel, and baptizing as we did two Sundays ago. But my conscience and the consciences of others are burdened by the congregation's full fellowship with the synod. And so by pilgrims sharing in false practices that not only are permitted, but in some cases even promoted in our circuit, district, and synod. Other people's consciences may not be so grieved for various reasons. You may have heard me previously quote God's call, initially to his people in Babylon, like Ezekiel and those with him, and then subsequently also to his people of the New Testament, calling, "Come out of her, my people, lest you take part in her sins, lest you share in her plagues." So some pilgrim members and I are abstaining from communion at this altar at the present time. Not because we think that we are better than anyone else, but because we know that we are just as sinful as everyone else. and do not want to risk our forgiveness and so our salvation. Other Pilgrim members may not be communing here for other reasons. And Pilgrim's elders and I are trying to meet with them, as described in today's gospel reading. And we pray that they will be responsive to our ministry on behalf of our Lord and the congregation. Even if we are not communing together, we individually receive God's forgiveness in other ways, such as in holy absolution. And we each forgive the sins that we commit against each other. This morning, in a particular sermon that I wrote for this congregation and its current circumstances, we have considered God's watchman and warning. More general sermons that I wrote for the Synod's Preaching Journal will be published in its next issue, and I have still more general sermons to submit for an issue that'll be published in 2028. No general Synod-provided sermon would apply God's law and gospel to our particular circumstances here. As we heard in today's Old Testament reading, may those who fail to repent be blamed and die eternally. And may we who repent glorify God and live eternally. Amen. The peace of God, which passes all understanding, keep your hearts and minds in Christ Jesus. Amen.
I believe in God, the Father Almighty, maker of heaven and earth, and in Jesus Christ, his only Son, our Lord, who was conceived by the Holy Spirit, born of the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, died, and was buried. He descended into hell. The third day he rose again from the dead. He ascended into heaven and sits at the right hand God the Father Almighty. From thence he will come to judge the living and the dead. I believe in the Holy Spirit, the holy Christian Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting. Amen.
Let us pray for the whole Church of God in Christ Jesus and for all people according to their needs. Lord God, we thank and praise you for your free forgiveness of sins through faith in your Son, Jesus Christ, and for your leading your people to repent through generations of watchmen giving warning from you. Ever lead us faithfully to receive your forgiveness through your word and sacraments, and to do the good works of your commandments in keeping with our callings in life. Lord, in your mercy.
Hear our prayer.
Lord God, your Son is present with his church, pastors, and people as they gather around your word and sacraments. Keep your church focused on the forgiveness of sins. Strengthen those who are persecuted for your name. Unite in right teaching and practice the Missouri Synod, Texas District, and this circuit. Call pastoral candidates and fill pastoral vacancies. Advance the work of Lutherans for Life, and for this congregation, raise up people willing to serve in necessary positions and make our offerings more than sufficient for the work of your kingdom in this place. Lord, in your mercy.
Amen.
Lord God, in your Son, Jesus Christ, you have loved us with a great love, and you enable us to love one another. Help us and all of the baptized resist temptations to such things as sexual sin and despair, to pay what is owed to the governing authorities, and to love our neighbors as ourselves. Lord, in your mercy.
Hear our prayer.
Lord God, you place in our lives those who have strayed from the faith
and those who have never believed. Use us to reach them, that they may join us here and offer prayer to you at a time when you may be found. Lord, in your mercy.
Hear our prayer.
Lord God, you know better than we do the drought conditions in our and other areas. Send rain and seasonable temperatures, we pray, that the earth may bring forth her fruit in due season, and that we might render thanks unto you. Lord, in your mercy.
Amen.
Lord God, as our nation observes Labor Day tomorrow, we thank you for our employment through which you provide income to supply our various needs. Bless and prosper all employers, and give them a right regard and so just rewards for their laborers. And as the nation observes the 25th anniversary of the September 11th attacks Friday, we remember before you all those whose lives were and remain irreversibly altered on that day. Continue to comfort and sustain them, and help us all to live every day in contrition and faith, lest the sudden death find us unprepared and we perish eternally. Lord, in your mercy.
Hear our prayer.
Lord God, you alone institute all governing authorities. Govern those who govern us, that they may approve of those who do good and carry out your wrath on those who do wrong. Make all people good citizens. According to your will, grant peace and unity in the world and in this country. Protect non-combatants in war zones, and protect, uphold, and grant discernment to all those who serve in the U.S. Armed Forces and in police, fire, and corrections departments. Lord, in your mercy.
Hear our prayer.
Lord God, you protected and guided your people in their exodus from Egypt and as they returned from exile in Babylon. Protect and guide Brady, Jason, Remo and Kathy, David, Charles, and all who travel, whether for work or pleasure, or by land, sea, or air. Lord, in your mercy.
Hear our prayer.
Lord God, you preserve us from trouble and surround us with shouts of deliverance. Comfort those who mourn. Make victims of violent crime feel safe again. Grant hope and patience to those imprisoned. By your word and sacraments, be present with those who are shut in where they are. In your time and way, deliver from their afflictions Tracy, Margaret, Tina, Katie, Elaine, Gwen, Mary Sue, Bob, Linda, Ann, Steve, and all those who are in need of healing. And to that end, grant all necessary wisdom and skill to those who serve in medical professions. Lord, in your mercy.
Hear our prayer.
Lord God, we pray for all the little ones who believe in you. Help us to humble ourselves like them and not to lead them into sin. Help us not despise them, but to seek them when they stray. Through their parents, pastors, and teachers, teach them your law and your gospel so that they may grow up trusting Christ's forgiveness and living as your children. Lord, in your mercy.
Hear our prayer.
Into your hands, O Lord, we commend all for whom we pray, trusting in your mercy through your Son, Jesus Christ, our Lord, who lives and reigns with you and the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever.
Amen.
Thank you.
The Lord be with you.
And also with you.
Lift up your hearts.
We lift them to the Lord.
Let us give thanks to the Lord our God. It is truly good, right, and salutary that we should at all times and in all places give thanks to you, Holy Lord, Almighty Father, everlasting God, through Jesus Christ our Lord, who having created all things, took on human flesh and was born of the Virgin Mary. For our sake he died on the cross and rose from the dead to put an end to death, thus fulfilling your will and gaining for you a holy people. Therefore, with angels and archangels, and with all the company of heaven, we laud and magnify your glorious name, evermore praising you and saying,
Holy, 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 holy.
Blessed are you, Lord of heaven and earth, for you have had mercy on those whom you created and sent your only begotten Son into our flesh to bear our sin and be our Savior. With repentant joy, we receive the salvation accomplished for us by the all-availing sacrifice of his body and his blood on the cross. Gathered in the name and the remembrance of Jesus, we beg you, O Lord, to forgive, renew, and strengthen us with your word and spirit. Grant us faithfully to eat his body and drink his blood as he bids us do in his own testament. Gather us together, we pray, from the ends of the earth to celebrate with all the faithful the marriage feast of the Lamb and his kingdom, which has no end. Graciously receive our prayers, deliver and preserve us. To you alone, O Father, be all glory, honor, and worship, with the Son and the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever.
Amen.
Lord, remember us in your kingdom and teach us to pray.
Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread. And forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory, forever and ever. Amen.
Our Lord Jesus Christ, on the night when he was betrayed, took bread. And when he had given thanks, he broke it and gave it to the disciples and said, Take, eat, this is my body, which is given for you. This do in remembrance of me. In the same way also, he took the cup after supper, and when he had given thanks, he gave it to them, saying, Drink of it, all of you. This cup is the New Testament in my blood, which is shed for you for the forgiveness of sins. This do as often as you drink it in remembrance of me. The peace of the Lord be with you always. Thank you. give thanks to you, Almighty God, that you have refreshed us through this salutary gift. And we implore you that of your mercy, you would strengthen us through the same, in faith toward you and in fervent love toward one another. Through Jesus Christ, your Son, our Lord, who lives and reigns with you in the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever.
Amen.
The Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make his face shine upon you and be gracious unto you. The Lord look upon you with favor and give you peace.
Anniversary of the September 11th attacks back in 2002.
It's a lovely text, and we've sung it before. Sometimes we don't always get the rhythm right, but sorry about that. Glad to have Georgia again with us this morning. Glad to have Pastor Bill Heichel and his wife Cindy with us. Glad to have Paul and Marie with us again this morning. Glad to have Amelie here as well. And any announcements that are not in the bulletin? We've got 15 Jew next door. I invite you all to stay for that if you like. And anything else? Yes, when?
There's garlic in the back. I have a bag which is about a quart. That's one you want to take and try. Just the problem, get a bag or something. We can just take a few pieces out. But I finally got it all clean and situated. So.
Is this your elephant
this
garlic?
This is our elephant garlic.
Okay. So,
and if you don't get one today, let me know. I still have more in the house. And I can be sure to bring you a bag later.
Okay. And it's, would you say it's just like regular garlic? Or
it's milder than regular garlic. Do not fry it or saute it because getting it hot will make it taste bitter.
Okay.
But you can put it in your liquid stews or whatever, that type of thing. Or just roast it in the oven under 300 degrees.
Okay. Good. Thank you as always to the gardeners for the produce and the nurses. Look forward to greeting you all.